Giant fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac on the mic, and with me as always, we have Tracksuit Mike and Rahway Tommy. Preseason is over. Team, today, live, 53-man roster is set, and the Cowboys are coming to town. The season is upon us. We have so much to talk about, so much to review. But first, let's look at the headlines. And as we know, we're bringing back our favorite segment where we stick on a headline to talk about it or kick it to the next one. Up first, the Giants traded for linebacker Isaiah Simmons for a 7th-round pick with the Arizona Cardinals.
Let's kick it because I think we could talk about this a lot more later. He's going to be an important piece going forward for Wink and the team. We'll kick it and talk later. Can I kick it?
Rookie wide receiver Bryce Ford Wheaton will miss the season with an ACL tear.
Sucks to hear that he tore his ACL. He'll be out for the season. I'll just leave it at that. We'll kick it. Can I
kick it? Running back James Robinson and wide receiver Colin Johnson were waived.
James Robinson came in when we were adding depth at the beginning of camp, when before Saquon was signed. You didn't see a whole lot of them. When you did, it wasn't at times that you want to see a veteran that's going to be making the team out on the field. Colin Johnson, another receiver who was coming off an injury last year and probably could have contributed last year with the way the receiver room was, but with the moves made to bring guys in, we saw veterans that were cut. Beasley's gone. Crowder's gone. You know, Bryce Ford Wheaton on the IR. A lot of guys are moved off the roster. So there wasn't going to be room. Hey, should we have kept the 7th? We'll see. We'll get into that later. But these were two moves that I'm not completely shocked. I mean, I think Johnson maybe a little, but with all the moves we made, where is he getting out on the field?
No, he stuck the landing.
Quarterback Darnay Holmes has agreed to a pay cut to stay with the team.
I'll stick it, and I'll say this. You know, Darnay Holmes is a previous regime player drafted by Gettleman. It's been a lot of ups and downs with him. I think the fact that he took a pay cut, he's taken like the Darius Slayton route, and this might have been the only way that he actually stayed on the team. With all the cuts, I mean, they went down from 90 to 53 today. So, good for him. I hope he gets better and hopefully get less penalties. Jesus.
Hopefully, he has a Slayton-like resurgence.
I hope so.
Stuck the landing.
The Giants trade for former second-round pick edge player Boogie Basham from the Buffalo Bills.
Let's kick it. The one thing, though, I think this is the new NFL going from 90 to 53. We've seen a lot of action outside of the waiver wire. We've seen teams trade in for late round picks, late round swaps, but kick picking up Boogie. Can I kick
it? Name alone, Boogie Basham. Love it. All right. Tyree Phillips, once the favorite for the swing tackle job and can play guard, has been cut.
I'll stick it. I was actually pretty disappointed by this. It's leaving us incredibly thin at tackle. I'm pretty sure the only 3 tackles on the unofficial roster are going to be Thomas Neal and Matt Parrott. So, giving up, cutting this guy, and he's probably going to get picked up on waivers tomorrow. I mean, it's unfortunate that we had to make space at this position for elsewhere because, God forbid one of those guys goes down. Can't be too confident in the backup tackle situation. So it's unfortunate. It's the name of the game. And, just got to roll with it and pray everybody stays healthy.
No, he stuck the landing.
That'll do it for headlines. And now a word from our sponsors.
Do you have any Cowboys merchandise at your house? Call DiCarlito Sanitation. We'll take out your garbage right away. DiCarlito Sanitation.
And that'll do it for tonight's sponsor, DiCarlitos. All right, boys, let's break it down. There's a lot to get through. God damn it, are we excited. So let's transition right into four down territory, fast and furious. And that is where we rank the top four most important items impacting Big Blue this week. Tonight, which new players to the roster are going to be the biggest difference makers? Up first, we got Isaiah Simmons.
I think this is part of the answer to your question about the pass rush. I think this is going to be a guy, like I said earlier, this is a guy that was tied to the Giants in mock drafts leading up to that draft where he was a top 10 pick. He wasn't used in a way in Arizona where the new regime wanted to keep him around. He's very athletic, very versatile. He's a hybrid, right? He's a whatever you want to call it, a joker. We're going to see him rush the passer. We're going to see him rush the passer from the edge. We're going to see him rush the passer at lined up, you know, in the slot. They've, you know, watching the film on him. I think you're going to see him, you know, drop into coverage, make plays in the open field. He's an athletic linebacker, safety, who is really probably going to do everything except put his hand in the dirt for the defense. And I think as
he can't be more dog shit than what the Giants.
He cannot be more dog shit.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Yeah, we'll see him expand. And frankly, hyper athletic, can't be worse than players the Giants have trotted out over the last few years in that position. All right, second down, what do we got?
I'm gonna go back to back. Bobby Okereke. This was our big free agent splash on defense. More cost effective than some of those other linebackers that were tied to us at the end of the season heading into free agency. You look back at Giant teams that have won the Super Bowl, right? Championship teams. Not the greatest linebackers in the world, but you had guys racking up tackles. This guy can go sideline to sideline. He's athletic. So I'm talking guys like Antonio Pierce, Boley, going even further back, Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, guys that were anchors in the middle of that defense, quarterback of the defense type. He's been with the Giants for a matter of months. He was elected by his teammates a captain today. So, you know, the intangibles, right? Not just his athleticism. He's obviously seen as a leader in that locker room already. And he's going to be making plays for us for the next few years, sideline to sideline. We have not had that. That was something we lacked last year. We need
big
to get somebody else next to him.
And big shoes to fill, but you never sleep on Bobby O. Third down, who do we get?
I got to go with Darren Waller, man. I mean, this guy's he speaks for himself. He's huge. You know, he beat everybody in training camp that couldn't stop him. Funny story I'll tell real quick. I had remembered when he was drafted by the Ravens years ago, Marlon Humphrey struggled big time against him. And John Harbaugh was like, yo, why you keep losing to this guy? He's a rookie. And he goes, coach, this guy's nice. So he's got really high potential. Looks for him to be, you know, the red zone target. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls and hopefully quite a few touchdowns as well.
He looked so good in the preseason game. Knock on wood, Giants fans, if he can stay healthy, man, the outcomes are
tense. And Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, like that shot together on the sideline, like they genuinely look like they're having fun. They're excited to be there. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's something that this team has not had in a long time. So I'm very excited for what the future holds. Next up, I have rookie corner Deontay Banks. Now, Art Stapleton tweeted today that everybody just calls him Tay. Nobody calls him Deontay. So I'm going to call him Tay from now on, like I'm on the team, even though I'm really not.
Thank you for that clarification, Trevor.
Yes.
Mike.
Okay. So I think that, you know, if you look at the stats for the preseason, he's one of the most dominant corners. I mean, he allowed barely any reception, barely any yards. He's just coming into the league now. He's taking guys to school. And to have that lined up with an already solid corner in Adoree Jackson and, you know, newcomer Trey Hawkins, I really actually like the cornerback position from where we were a year ago. Absolutely. So, you know what? Sky's the limit. I hope he's, you know, next – great Giants defensive back.
All right, and that's going to do it for Four Down Territory. We're going to move right into what the F would that look like. And that's where we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if the Giants opened the season on Sunday Night Football and wiped the floor with the Dallas Cowboys?
It would look like me probably getting arrested because I'm so wasted at the parking lot.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't come to that. But for the love of God, I will be a happy man in my team meeting where I am working with quite a few residents of the great state of Texas. So how about them Cowboys? Would be a beautiful start to my Monday work meeting. Tommy, come on. I know you're brimming with excitement over this, drooling.
Well, the bandwagon will be filling up fast, whether it be Giant fans who like to be negative or Giant haters that are, yeah, they're not that bad.
Yeah, you want to prove something? You want to be taken seriously? You got to win this game. Even if they don't wipe the floor, per se, with the Cowboys, like, you got to win this game. Home divisional game, open the season. Make a bunch of Cowboy fans from Jersey disappointed that we all work with and have to deal with on a yearly basis.
Win this game, it sets you up for the year. I think it makes people take the Giants seriously as a playoff contender back-to-back years. And it shows everybody that, right, we got to – the Eagles are the defending NFC champions, NFC East champions. They're the team we're chasing. But it shows everybody that the Giants are in play for the division. They can play with the Cowboys, who beat them twice last year. And I think it makes a lot of people take the New York Giants seriously. If they even come out, just win the game. Just win the game.
Yeah, but what would it look like, gentlemen? Like, I agree.
I'll tell you right now. No, I will tell you right now, Mac. This is what it'll look like. It will look like the NFC Championship game versus the Vikings. That's what, when you say wipe the floor, that's what I think of. Touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, making them wish the game was over. That's what it would look like.
Okay, love it. Fantastic. How is that happening? Is Saquon Barkley running for 300 yards? Is Dak Prescott just?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Hold himself, like, who amongst the Giants are taking us to that level?
Hyatt puts up a Randy Moss-esque Thanksgiving line: 4 catches, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Watch.
Oh my God. That is just the most absurd
thing. That is obnoxious, but guess what? I'm an obnoxious motherfucker.
How does that happen, though? That happens. The Giants put up 30. If they wipe the floor, if they put up 30, I think they wipe the floor. I don't think it's close.
Wipe the floor is a lot to a little to me. That's not like a close game. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It'll never be close.
Wipe the floor or not, I think if the Giants are going to win this game and win it by more than one score, then it's going to be a Saquon Barkley game. The Giants need to completely limit the possessions of the Cowboys, take the air out of this game, and put up points in the red zone. And they're going to have to turn the ball over. I'm expecting a pick and a domination on the ground game. We're talking 250-plus yards between Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones on the ground. That's how it's got to be done. Take the air out of it. They're going to want it. All this talk about the Cowboys wanting to run more, they got a young running back who weighs not a lot of pounds coming off an ACL. And for goddamn sake, look at the facts. McCarthy used to throw 65% of the time with the Packers. He is not some old school, I'm going to run the ball all the time. They want to throw, and they have the weapons to do it. Take the air out of the ball, run it down their goddamn throats, and put up 7 points. The Giants will win this game. That's what's going to happen. That's what the fuck it's going to look like. All right. And that brings us finally, gentlemen, to huge predictions. And huge predictions is not brought to you by Facillo Automotive, but we are working on it. So if anybody knows the VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. Gentlemen, What is your huge prediction for the Giants' final record?
10-7. That's it. It's not even that huge. That's not huge of a prediction either.
It is your prediction.
It is, but how huge is it? It's huge, and it's spectacular.
11-6. 11-6.
Ooh.
It's starting to sound right. It's still not normal to me. I want to say 11-5, but 11-6. And then if the Eagles have any hiccups, I think 11-6 puts the division in play.
And guess what? The Giants play the Eagles the last week, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, yeah, but in the spirit of huge predictions, Tommy, you inspired me. I hate to copy you, but I originally had a different guess here, but in, again, huge. I think 11-6 would be, with this schedule, would be huge. Let's go, baby. We are less than 2 weeks away from the season opener in MetLife Stadium against the Cowboys. Can you feel it, Giants Nation? It is time. I'm back
in New York. Fucked with the chemistry, Roadhouse. You fucked everything.
Preseason. How are we feeling? It's over.
I really feel great. I'm usually the pessimistic one, but you know what? Why not the Giants, man? Like, nobody's talking about this team. And you know what? I like it better that way. The Giants historically do better when, you know, off season you're flowing under the radar. Better players.
Mac, they're young. They're improving. Whether it be the line or the wide receivers, we say it every week, or now we will say it every week because we're back. They're improving. That wide receiver room, yeah, did we not add a bona fide number one? Special teamers who normally don't see time at wide receiver are no longer playing.
Yeah, CJ Board, bro. That we come picked on, up man.
From other Boys, teams' practice squads that did contribute. I agree, contribute.
The floor has risen, but who? Who has looked good in camp? Who is sticking out to you specifically? All I hear about the pundits and guys, again, I don't want to be painted as the negative Nancy over here. You don't know.
Oh, you're definitely Nancy. Nancy's
one. No. I just want to deal in reality. And the reality that I hear is that there is, oh my God, if I hear one more person talk about the Giants offense about, ooh, they've added weapons. They've added weapons. Like, we have really devalued the word weapon until people such as Paris Campbell prove it. He's a guy. I'm excited about him. Right. But like, who has looked good in camp that is giving us excitement that what is 80% of the same offense is suddenly going to be this dynamic powerhouse?
80%? That's incredibly generous of you. 80%. And not even close.
And you don't sound like negative Nancy. You sound like Cowboy Karen. The Giants added Darren Waller, who's your number one receiver. All right,
hey, thank
he's lining
you.
Up at tight end. He's out in the slot. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy. We don't know anybody's going to stay, but he's looked good.
Knock on wood, no major injuries this camp, though. Thank God for the most part.
No injuries. Look, Jones likes the tight end. The drive that I watched against Carolina in section 202, sitting next to my good friend Coach Brian Daboll. I mean Barry Mussoff. Tweeted out by Jordan Renan. We have a doppelganger. We have our own Andy Reid. They looked good. He trusted the tight ends, especially Waller. You got a glimpse. I didn't need to see any more. It was great. Little Thomas got to see the Giants. They sat down. We had a good time. 70% of your offense is back. Saquon Barkley. I don't think he's going to need to be 70 this year. Right? You've added better receivers. The line, the depth scares me. The guys that are going to go out there, I think it's like Tracksuit said, it's much improved from where we were. The house of horrors that Dave Gettleman assembled as a line was not going to protect me, you, Daniel Jones, Phil Sims, or Eli Manning. This line is doing better. This line helped get us to the playoffs. You got to hope Evan Neal is a year better. Andrew Thomas is a year
Let's not poo-poo David Gettleman too much, given that, as you were about to say, Andrew Thomas Mr. Gettleman's prized possession. And frankly, our swing tackle is about to be Matt Parrott, that in the Jets game was getting thrown around like a rag doll. And then the Mr. Shane Lemieux, can someone explain to me how Shane Lemieux is still on the Giants roster? Please. I am concerned, right, Tommy. I'm concerned about the offensive line. Until I am not, until they prove that they are not who they have been for the better part of the last decade.
I mean, Lemieux's probably not even starting.
No, but he's still on the roster.
I mean, we don't even know, like, this is the 53 guys that, like, the Giants chose, but, like, 52. You don't know what's going to happen. Okay, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow on the waiver wire. You don't know who they're going to get, who they might trade for before the season.
And we might discover the cure for cancer as well, but I'm dealing in the reality that is today. And today, Shane Lemieux is one of the Giants' best 8 offensive linemen. And there are we positive? Is it Ben Bredesen? Is that our left guard? I mean, look.
Yeah, it's got to be either some combination of Azudu, Glowinski, and Bredesen. I mean, it is what it is. But right,
I'll give it to you. They looked fantastic in that drive against the Panthers. It's very, very exciting. There is speed all over the place. That there is a lot of things to be excited about. If Waller can stay healthy and you have a rotation of Slayton, Hyatt, and Campbell on crossers and slants with the ever presence of Saquon, I mean, yeah, it's going to be really, really, really dangerous, but it's just, it always comes back to the offensive line for me until it doesn't. And Evan Neal, I'm looking at you. Left guard, I'm looking at you. Frankly, Glowinski, I think he had a subpar from what is a already mediocre career. Just get back to average, baby. That's what we're paying you to be. Average.
If the offensive line is even like top 15, we're going places.
Well, hell yeah.
This is a unit that was bottom 3, dude, for years. Yeah.
Eight
so,
teams
like,
won a playoff game last year, right? 8 teams won one or more playoff games. The Giants and their offensive line were one of them.
Is that wrong?
That was last year.
But I would say that, I mean, has the offensive line not
worse?
Improved? No, it hasn't gotten worse. And it's another year. This is another thing. It's the coordinators are both.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Staying. Can we definitively and objectively, until that we see them on the field, say that this offensive line is not worse? We're all very optimistic about John Michael Schmitz, but he has never played it down in the NFL. Can we 100% say that he is worse than the, like, just barely, you know, the sub NFL average that, yeah, I guess we can say that about John Feliciano, but until we see it, we can't. And Neil, it's all projection. What if he takes a step back? Or if he doesn't get better, we all want him to. We all believe he can. I'm not saying he is destined to be Eric Flowers, but until he proves he's not, it's all projection.
I mean, you're not wrong either, but like, I choose to believe.
give me your best. Is it Jaworski? I truly believe. I've watched 100 hours of film this morning, and I truly believe that Evan Neal will improve.
I do. He has to, right?
I mean,
I don't think he has to do anything. It's tough, you know. You want to believe. Why you now you've gotten into my head.
Hey, well, here's something we can all agree on. There is a significant increase in the speed on the offense. This is year 2. If Daniel Jones is thinking quicker, moving faster, and you have 2 or 3 players with exceptional speed out there, that can make a lot of difference, even if there's only a marginal upgrade with the offensive line. And I think if you take anything from the preseason away, well, it's probably a very, very vanilla and bland offense. there's still going to be a healthy dose of play action and crossers and motion and all of those things that are designed to try to neutralize the pass rush and make up for a subpar offensive line. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that are advantageous in year two. But, you know, all of this hullabaloo about the offense, I think I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I need to see it. I'm a, you know, what are the time? Damn, my Catholic upbringing is failing me. The Doubting Thomas, excuse me. That's for whatever population that is listening to this. But I digress. I need to see it before I believe it. You two boys are optimistic. What about the defense? We haven't talked at all about the defense. Let's flip it around to the other side of the ball. What's been sticking out to you at camp on the other side of the ball?
I mean, the defensive line is, you know, ESPN did rate the interior defensive line as the best in the league, which is crazy to even consider that the Giants are the best in the league at anything after what we've been through. So, I mean, I would say it's got to be – it's probably Dexter Lawrence mostly, a little bit of Leonard Williams. But, yeah, and I think that the upgrade, you know, going from – who were even the linebackers last year, bro? McFadden, Tay Crowder, like
– the Boston Colitro, I believe.
Yes. Okay. To go from that to what's looking like Isaiah Simmons and Bobby Okereke, I mean, that – might be one of the best like positional room upgrades of starters in the league at any position. Like these are two, like I would say Okereke is an above average linebacker and Simmons, I feel like hasn't even scratched the surface of what he's actually capable of. He was in for, yes, he was in for what, five snaps versus the Jets. And he did a little bit of everything. I went back this week. I did the homework. I watched the All-22 film of the Cardinals last year, and this is a guy that just can basically play anywhere except for like down defensive line. You know what I'm saying? I'm really excited for this guy. I liked him in the draft a lot. I understand why we took Thomas over him, of course, but the fact that we got him for seventh round pick,
thank God.
Yeah, no,
the fact that we just got this man for all, you know, we were really excited, but we did just get this man for a seventh round pick.
Yes, no,
and that's where I was.
It's 1 year, and you know what? It's
Tommy,
a great roll of
the back. Where are you, brother?
I said, for all the guys that are poo-pooing and going, oh, they gave him away, the seventh-round pick. They were going to cut him. This was the same as us. It was a former regime getting rid of somebody that they did not bring in, that they did not believe in, and said, hey, we're going to cut this guy. Let's pick up the phone and see who will give us something. The Giants, who were tied to him throughout the draft process, all those mock drafts, Isaiah Simmons. It's going to be a Giant. The kid from Clemson. Thank God we got Andrew Thomas, and we have a tackle for hopefully
and
years to come.
And we got Simmons. That's crazy.
And at first I heard Isaiah Simmons. I'm like, we were supposed to draft him. It didn't work out. A lot of things don't work out in Arizona.
Literally.
Well, it worked out for us in Arizona, but Arizona themselves, doesn't work out. They moved on. We took advantage. This is another example of Joe Shane doing his job.
Yeah, honestly.
To improve the team and doing it.
You know, I will give Shane and Dable earned the benefit of the doubt, you know, as long as they don't royally fuck up. Which, I mean, it seems like we've got one of the – you know, best new tandems of front office and coach on the field. So, and Wink Martindale is back. We retained like this. When was the last time you had both coordinators and same head coach retained on this team? Like Joe Judge, but like that doesn't count. You know what I'm saying, man? It's like, yeah.
It's been a revolving door.
This is upgrades, people.
So, you know, I think
I hope these guys are in charge for 25 years.
Well, you know, I agree, because if that's the case, then they're incredibly successful. I think, you know, looking at the 53 roster, you know, I think Aaron Robinson on the PUP is no surprise. I'm very interested to see if we get anything out of him. I think what really sticks out to me is that there's only five cornerbacks. But when you look at the safeties, there's six. Both Bobby McCain and Nick McCloud are cornerback versatile. I mean, Nick McCloud, the big special teamer, played cornerback for the Giants. Not, you know, exactly what you wanted, but gave some good snaps for them last year.
He did. He did. And, honestly, I thought he was all right. Like,
oh yeah,
I trusted him. I trusted him out there, and like, you know, in the last few years, especially, there hasn't been that many guys I actually trust playing cornerback. Like we're talking about
Isaac Yiadom or something of that nature.
DeAndre Baker. Like, we're talking about liabilities versus like solid starters.
And Bobby McCain is also known to be slot cornerback versatile, and is also on safety after suffering a concussion, I believe, in the preseason game against, I mean, I think Randall Cobb hit him sort of in a dirty hit, if I remember correctly, against the Jets. But anyway, so that's just interesting. Only five cornerbacks really sticks out to me, but the safeties give it sort of that edge. Honestly, the fact that Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin both made the roster, surprise cuts. I don't know if there's anybody else who sticks out for you, but Darian Beavers being cut was very intriguing to me. That stood out as notable.
Yeah, I agree. And what my thinking was going into today was there was a possibility that, you know, especially with the addition of Simmons, you've got, you know, I thought that one of between Beavers and McFadden might not make the team. And, you know, I guess Beavers was just the odd man out coming off the ACL.
I was thinking health. Is that knee ready?
Dan Duggan reported today that he thought that that Beavers had lost a step and he wasn't the fastest guy to begin with.
That's a very valid point. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, what, a fifth round rookie losing a step coming off. I mean, sometimes it takes 2 years for those things to heal. You know, it's unfortunate for someone that had a lot of optimism last year, someone who's going to compete for the starting job. But, you know, hopefully he just lands on the practice squad and, you know, comes back around next year or even maybe later this year. But, you know, and ideally is just a health thing. But Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin stick around. Heck, they're special teamers. Jeez. You know, Thomas McGahee must be thanking his lucky stars because he has been struggling putting together coverage units, certainly last year and so far in the preseason this year. So retaining Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin, core special teamers, definitely helps him out in that regard. Go ahead. What was that, Tom?
I think that's what helps them make the especially, I think, a Carter Coughlin. That's what helps him, a guy like him, make the roster.
And he really, Cam Brown, I wasn't sure about.
You know, Pro Bowl caliber middle linebacker play, but he's improved on defense to where he's not a liability. He does so well on special teams. He's needed. Beavers, who's lost a step, not going to be a special teamer, you know, not that he was a first or second round pick at linebacker, a fifth round pick. He's got to have to play some special teams, but the fact that Coughlin does it better, they're closer. It gives them the edge. So those things being a little versatile, it keeps you around. You watch all these shows, Hard Knocks in season, any inside, you know, cameras in the locker room. They're always telling these young guys, be versatile, do more than one job.
Yeah, be active, right? You know, the more lines that you can play on, the more valuable you are, the better chance you have of sticking around on the roster. All right, so there's one thing, you know, either of you got anything to say on the defense? There's one thing I want to bring back up around on the offense before we get our final cuts here and move on. Anything on the defense? Tommy, tracksuit.
Really happy to see Trey Hawkins. Definitely earned a roster spot with a great camp. Look forward to seeing him play defense, whether that's a starting role or, you know, that's about it.
Looks like he's walking into a starting role. Tommy, yeah. Any chance on the defense?
Looking forward to seeing, you know, Dexter Lawrence out there for another season after getting his big contract and seeing what he can do. I think he's going to start to challenge Aaron Donald for the title of the man on the middle of that defensive line, as well as Deontay Banks. What can he do as a rookie, and how does he improve us in the secondary going against CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, you know, Jahan Dotson and scary Terry McLaurin and those guys? How does he help us in the division? It's going to be interesting to see because, you know, it wasn't a popular name that you heard a lot of buzz about before he got picked. But once he got picked, you heard things like possibly the best corner in the draft, great athlete, you know, so to see him out on the field is going to be exciting because we haven't had that type of corner in a long time. So it'll be fun to see what he could do as a rookie.
More to come next offseason, but we're starting to see what Joe Shane and certainly Joe Shane in the context of this coaching staff values with their prospects. We talked about it post-draft this year, Deontay Banks and Trey Hawkins being two of the most highly athletically rated cornerbacks that have ever been rated in the history of the RAS score over the last, you know, 20 plus years or like 40 drafts, something like that. I'd have to go back and watch the Big Blue All Day episode. But all right, young secondary, really exciting. We'll see what comes of it. Quick question on the receivers, though. This is something that we missed. Gentlemen, talk me, not off the ledge. You know, I'm excited. I think, again, we talked about this in the offseason. We talked about this today. The floor of this team is higher, and there's a couple things with upside. But I was really surprised. Another thing of note, I think, that sticks out when you look at the 53 or 52 man roster. Only six receivers. Wandale Robinson just came off of PUP today. Sterling Shepard coming off back-to-back major injuries and only recently coming off the PUP. And then you got Hodginsley and Hyatt and Campbell. How are we feeling about this?
I mean, it's definitely, you know, the injury history is not ideal, but like there's like little things that I really like about all these receivers that I think that they're actually going to all, you know, put together big plays for us. Like Slayton has always kind of had it, but it's been like a lot of mental, like you saw with like the hands in Minnesota. Hodgins, I mean, he was the Giants' leading receiver, and he joined the team in what, like November? Like, love that. Hyatt, you love the speed and the route running. You know, Sauce Gardner will say otherwise, but Hyatt absolutely dusted him. I don't want to hear nothing about that. Daniel Jones hits him in stride for a touchdown. Campbell, he gives you that, you know, versatility out of the backfields type jet sweep type things. And he's a guy who's also been injured. He's also been an injury concern too. And Shepard, it's not even the things on the field, it's off the field. He was the Giants' biggest fan on the bench, man. Riling up the crowd, getting the players into it. Like, I think that definitely speaks for something. You know, I'm excited for Wandale to come back. You know, I think it's even a little bit early, but the fact that he's not on the PUP list, you know, they expect him back in the next 4 weeks. So,
yeah, that's four weeks. If he's on the PUP, he misses the first 4 weeks. They're not bringing him off if he's not ready. So now is he ready to ratchet it up 100% week one? Maybe not, but you got to figure by week two he's ready to go and contribute. I'm concerned because there's a big injury you're coming off of. He isn't a running back, right? It's a little different for them. It's a skill position, but not as many, you know, side-to-side cuts as, you know, a Saquon, you know, has to make in the backfield and that recovery time that you see these backs that are all coming back. The other thing is, I think some of these moves were made with the salary cap in consideration, like a Cole Beasley, who we know he's up there in years. He knows the system. He's a coach. He's another one of these guys. He's been in the league forever. He's a coach on the field. But you saw him during camp. You saw it during the preseason. He was contributing a little bit. He looked good. He was getting open.
He got hurt at the end of camp, too. He's 34 years old. I agree. He looked good, but he's hurt.
He's not a guy, though, that you need to go out there and contribute 17 games of being a top wide receiver. If he comes out and contributes three or four games
and gets big third down receptions, like that's what we're talking about.
You need. So you could totally see him coming back after week one when you don't have to guarantee his contract for the season. He's with the team week one. You cut him week five, you're paying him for the whole year. You
bring the two of you insinuating the Giants right now is plan to is essentially stream their seventh wide receiver, more or less. Like, you know, really, it comes down to this.
Nobody else wants him. That's the thing.
No, so,
does he want to go play somewhere else?
The two of you just optimistic that both Wandale Robinson and Sterling Shepard are ready to step on the field in 2 weeks against the Cowboys for meaningful snaps? Or are you confident that the combination of Hodgins, Slay, and Hyatt and Campbell make that irrelevant for at least week one? Like, I am just concerned that
the rest of the room, for me, it's the rest of the room. And I also think what makes this possible is, I think, and you heard a lot of this post-draft leading into the season, how Jalin Hyatt was a project. He's not going to contribute a lot this year. Then you see him out on the field and you see his speed. And I think the development was a little accelerated. Not saying he's going to come out and play at Odell Beckham level as a rookie, but I think they already see that they're going to be able to get more of a contribution in year one than they initially thought. So I think that plays into the moves and the construction of the wide receiver room on the 53-man, you know, opening day roster. Do I think Wandale and Shepard are going to be out there 100% day one? No, but I think the other four guys that you have, the other three tight ends that you have, can make that happen.
Yeah, I agree with Tommy on this one.
All right, boys. All right, fair enough. Well, I hope you're both right, and I hope Wandale and Shep are just healthy, and we're excited about the other four, especially, like you said, Hyatt. I mean, hell, if he is as far along in his progression as he seems in the preseason, holy crap, the first
Not officially, but they clocked him faster than Tyreek Hill. It wasn't official, but they clocked him at a higher miles per hour than Tyreek, who's been, up until now, the fastest human to run on an NFL field.
All right, short and sweet, boys. I'm throwing you a hot one here before we move to our first segment, our next segment. Biggest hole right now, position or player, offense, defense, as we head into the season. Great, we're optimistic. Where's the hole? Tommy, what do you got?
I think this will make you happy and make you go, I told you so. But the depth of the offensive line, if guys start to go down, who's going to be there?
I mean, I'm concerned about the starting guards, like
Justin Pugh. You know, I think we're like you said, we're better than we've been in the past. The it's improved, but
how good is that compared to everybody else? You know, exactly.
Yeah. And what's Zudu going to be? What are these guys that have been injured? How do they contribute? These guys that are coming back, they must have seen something in Lemieux. But like you said before, what has he done to stay here? You know, as a depth piece, is he someone we can live with that's not out there, you know, playing?
So no arguments there.
16, 17 NFL games.
Tracksuit, what do you got? What's your hole?
I got to go guard, man. I'm just not terribly confident in those, you know, whoever's going to be starting. It's not, like I said, it's better than before, but like, how low is the floor compared to everybody else? You know what I mean? I don't know. I hope for the best, but like, there's a, you know, possibility that we're living in a reality where like the guards are holding this team back.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you're not going to hear any arguments from me for both of you going back to back offensive line. For me, it is actually edge depth. I mean, behind Kayvon and AZ, great. We have great depth interior defensive line. You can't fix every problem at once, but hell, Jihad Ward offers you absolutely zero in the pass rush department. And we don't know what to get from Boogie Basham other than an amazing name and a 6'3", 281 pound, you know, presence. And probably pretty good run support too. So the depth behind the two of them and the amount of snaps they might play and the drop off that could be precipitous in our ability to get pressure, even with all of Wink's blitzes, is concerning for me. But
party at the moon.
Otherwise, the Cowboys. Can you feel it, Giants Nation? It is time. So let's not bicker over who killed who and end tonight with the fact that the Dallas Cowboys simply are not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York,
football.
Giants.
For Tracksuit Mike and Rahway Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.